Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The last time the gentleman sat next to me was in this building. It was the day after he had been released from WWE and was looking out on a bright and brave new world. Nearly 2 years, a year and some change. He is back with us at Cultaholic. It's, of course, Amir Jordan. How are we, sir?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Mate, I'm enough about me. I'm all right, but it's all about you.
Year and 8 months.
Did we just figure that out? It was a year and 8 months, wasn't it?
August 2022. So what are we now? May 2020. Four. Yeah. So it's like a year and 8 months, isn't it?
So nearly 2 years.
June, July, August.
Since
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
It was, I remember when that announcement came down, and I think we spoke within a few minutes of it happening, and you were like,
yeah,
I can pop in. I was like, are you sure you're not going to get in trouble if you pop in? He's like, nah, it's fine, let's go.
Well, do you know what it was? It was because, and again, like, it's funny because I talked about feeling a little bit frustrated at that point, and obviously, yes. Like, it was that thing of like not being busy enough. And one of the first things that I did, so we got the call in like the afternoon the day before. And I was just like, all right, I got to work straight away because at that point I was frustrated with not wrestling as consistently as I wanted to. And I wanted to do that, right? So then I was just like, all right, let me get in touch with all the promotions and all of that stuff. And I was just like, what can I do right now? Because I want to hit the ground running, I want to get moving, right? So, yeah, that's why you were like, okay, who's close by? All right, I'm in Newcastle, Tom's there, let's go. Because I know we talked about it for a while,
oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
And we've never done one. So then I was just like, all right, let's go. Because that's one thing that I could do and it'd be good to...
Because what's the priority when you get that call and they go, well, you know, this is it for now. Like, how long is it before you start going, okay, we've got to move on to the next thing?
For me, it was straight away.
Just immediate.
But, like, I think that's just because it was the way that I am. To be honest with you, like throughout all the frustrations, but also, like, just generally in my life, I've always been the type that if I'm not getting something from somewhere, then I'll go find it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. That's where kind of, like, Canada came about as well, where I'm just, like, I've never liked to complain too much in a position that I've been in. So most of my life, I've been in control of that, right? Whereas when you're under a contract, you're not necessarily in control. And we see that all the time now in wrestling, right? We see that all the time where someone's under a contract and, you know, do you know what I mean? And so, like, I had to kind of wait for that to happen. So in a weird kind of way, it was kind of like the door opened up and it was like, all right, this is in my control now. So whatever I do from now on, I'm an independent wrestler. Like, it's up to me, and my successes and my failures are on me now, kind of. Mm. Kind of was a bit liberating a little bit in the initial period. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's the general consensus that you get from people who get let go from WWE, from wherever they are at, is that there's heartbreak because, you know, that's, it's the WWE, it's the biggest game in town, regardless of however you think about it. But also there is that liberation of going, right now I'm not kowtowed to whatever a company wants me to do or doesn't want me to do. And now actually this is all on me now. And that's either a really terrifying thought or a really exciting thought, or maybe a bit of both.
I was more excited. So, like, I guess I've always had the confidence in myself to be able to have the ability. I guess I've got, like, a little bit of real life work experience before wrestling as well. I've always backed myself to be able to, I'll always be all right financially.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if wrestling doesn't work out, I'll always be able to do something. So, like, because I've got that fail safe kind of, it meant that, like, I was, like, ready to kind of crack on with it. And a little bit, like, you know, this is kind of some of the stuff that I've learned over the last year and a half as well, is, like, most wrestlers that are successful go through a struggle. Do you know what I mean? And I was very lucky that I, you know, started wrestling in 2016. I moved to the back to the UK from Canada. Had like a very busy run all the way to like, as I was settling into being an independent wrestler, I became like a TV wrestler. I got the contract at NXT UK. And then for 4 years, I was kind of in that world. And like looking back at it now, I kind of going currently, I guess you could say, going through the struggle of it and the grind of it. And like the reality of what it takes to make it in wrestling, I kind of feel like I kind of had it a little easy as well, if that makes sense. Not to say that I didn't work towards it and I didn't earn it or whatever, because I feel like I did and I didn't, you know, deserve to be where I was. But at the same time, I hadn't gone through a struggle yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you because a lot of what wrestlers' careers are made of is that period where you're sort of trudging through to try and find it. But because of the nature in which you came to the UK from Canada, you kind of already had... You've done that struggle elsewhere a little
bit. Yeah, in real life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that kind of helped me as well. But at this, like, I remember when we were at Lancers, this is actually a good story.
Because you trained at the Lance Storm Wrestling Academy.
Yes, in Calgary. Yeah, I trained at the Lance Storm Academy in Calgary. So when I was there, I remember at WWE were over for a house show, and we all went to it. Lance was like very, you know, supportive of us, making sure we go to the show. But during one of the sessions, Tyler Breeze and Luke Harper turned up, and because Tyler Breeze trained with Lance, right? Mm. So it was awesome for us because we got to like do a little Q&A session, right? And one of the coolest things that Luke Harper said as well, he said that like he got signed at quite a later age. And he was talking about how he was on the indies and he was getting more and more frustrated, not knowing. It was something along the lines of like not knowing where this was going to end up.
Yeah.
So he kind of like stopped giving a shit about his appearance kind of. And then in the end, that's kind of what they needed for him to be part of the Wyatt family, right?
Yeah.
And he got signed at like 34, 35. Like him telling us that story kind of like... Looking back at it now, I was just like, imagine the struggle that he would have gone through. Because like an indie wrestler's struggle it's a struggle. Do you know what I mean?
It's so funny how so many of these stories come and the success comes when, for lack of a better term, you stop caring. It's that idea.
Yeah,
it's that whole idea, isn't it? That when you're not desperately trying to get on and you sort of don't stress about it so much and you relax into it a bit, that's kind of when you find yourself.
100%.
And that's what makes you more appealing.
100%. Absolutely. It's when you start becoming more of yourself. And like, I'll say it as well, like a lot of wrestlers have like, a big part of the struggle is what becomes part of your story, right? Mm. So like, that's what gives you like, it's like going through the struggle is what makes you a better person. It's what ultimately makes you a better performer, I believe, because it kind of strips away the giving a shit aspect of it. We're good for the shit.
Yeah,
the
you F's can swear,
right?
It's fine.
And it kind of strips away that aspect of it. So then when you do stop doing that, then you can just be, fuck it, I'll be myself and I'll be more me. Do you know what I mean? And it kind of relaxes you out, which then means that you can go out there and actually perform more. We all get nervous, like, of course, but do you get what I mean when it comes to that aspect of it? And I think that comes with time.
Yeah.
And it comes with, there's like a certain... journey of becoming a wrestler and being successful in wrestling that means that you do get broken down a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it and it's how you bounce back from that. Like there's some people will take criticism and take that negativity and it will completely like finish them off and they won't progress beyond. But a great skill set is being able to take that and take what's good from it and leave what's bad from it and push 100%. Forward and find you.
Yeah,
and that's very much what you did. And as you say, you hit the ground running when it came to your new freefound indie status. And a big part of that for you was returning to Canada. How important was that to start making those plans to return to Canada where you trained with Lance Storm?
Yeah, so like obviously from when we last met as well, that was like me fresh back on the independent scene, and it was pretty cool. So that was August 2022. So it was pretty cool that I got to wrestle for all of the promotions that I wrestled for before I got signed with WWE.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a bunch of them. It was good to be back at North and Rise, and Hammerlock was doing something, and there was a bunch of stuff going on. We had 1PW as well. That, you know, however it ended up, it gave me a good platform. Do you know what I mean? Of like to perform in front of a bunch of people. Mm. I got to wrestle Lance Archer. That was pretty cool. You know, that was a good experience for me as well. But like, it was cool to do that. But then I was just like, what's my next step? What's my next step forward?
Because it's one thing to go back to those places, and it was lovely. It was almost like a victory.
It was awesome. It was great
to see you back at North Wrestling, to see you back at places like Rise as well. It felt like a wonderful thing
NGW
to do.
NGW in Hull and all that stuff. Like, that's it.
BWR.
In Grimsby way. Great promotions.
But they're great promotions that made you who you are, and it was great that you could go back and do that once again. Having all the experience that you had, but you've at the same time, you wouldn't want to become one of those people that just go back to doing that same loop.
Well, like, to be honest with you, I was actually at the time I was very, very thankful, because like you say, there is a daunting aspect of like, okay, now my real life hits you, right? So like, now the money that I used to pay for my mortgage and to pay for my house is now gone, right? When you get released from, like, a lot of people don't realize, like, a WWE contract is a big deal for the real life aspect of a... It means that you can, as a wrestler, actually make real money to be able to buy a house and, you know, enjoy life. Do you know what I mean? So when that goes straight away like that, it was just like, all right, now I've got to make sure. And it kind of gives you a kick up the arse. Like I was mentioned it last time as well. I ended up doing Uber Eats. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember
you telling me. You end up taking on gig economy jobs and stuff, because I was just like, well, I need money. So like, real life hits you, right? So I've got this mortgage to pay and I need money, but I don't want to compromise on my wrestling. So I'm taking up these gig economy type jobs, right? Where I can work flexibly, which then means that I can go do Italy. Because after that, I ended up, you know, that was another awesome one. I got to go to Rome like 4 times as part of IWA and stuff. I was IWA champion. That was awesome. Do you know what I mean? So like, because of being able to do those flexible jobs, it meant that I was able to like take the risk and go out and wrestle more as well, knowing that I've got enough money coming in.
Because you had money that was there through these gig works that you could take on and stuff like that.
You know, as an independent wrestler, you've got to be resourceful and you've got to find ways, right? Like for us, you know, selling a few t-shirts goes a long way on an independent show, because you are 100% doing it by yourself. And like, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into the camera.
But to stay with the UK stuff, because you returning to the UK circuit... It's an interesting one, because you kind of left at the same time as a lot of other people, because it was as NXT UK was being born. So there was this mass exodus from the UK scene that left this big sort of sinkhole in the middle, and it was filled by new talent that emerged through, and 100%. The scene, you know, as the British wrestling scene always does, it always sort of resets, readjusts, and rebuilds.
Yep.
So, but you've done that, and then you're coming back now into a wrestling scene that is very different from the one that you left, with new people who have filled those gaps.
Yeah.
Was there, obviously you went back and you did North, and you've done BWR, and you've done Rise. Was there a bit of a challenge in terms of finding that place for you on the UK scene, knowing that the place that was there for you before, there were other people going for it?
Of course, yeah. To be honest with you, like, yeah, it kind of did feel like that, because when you're, it's weird, like when we were there, you're in like a different world. When you're signed to a contract, or when you're on a WWE contract, you're in a different world. Do you know what I mean? Your life's completely different in many ways, because we weren't traveling every week doing independent shows and stuff. We were getting very well looked after. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, looking back at it now, you know, being in that, we got paid throughout COVID. I got paid throughout 2 shoulder, you know, injuries, periods and stuff. And they paid me a full wage, you know, like you look back at it now, considering, you know, how it's different when you get released and when you're out on your own, then that's when you start feeling a lot more thankful for when you did get looked after, if that makes sense. But like coming back into the scene, it was weird. Like the world changed in those 4 years. Do you know what I mean?
It did.
So like it was weird being in that world. And then I'd come through, we'd all come through COVID as well. And like, you know, we had speaking out. That was another thing that happened. And that kind of changed the way things were done. So it was so much more of a like, I don't know if it's just me or if I might be wrong here as well. But like I did find in dressing rooms and stuff, it was different. And like before I got signed to NXT UK, I was one of the busier wrestlers on the scene, and I was in dressing rooms all the time. And like, you know, I guess the world changed. I guess if I look back at it now without, do you know what I mean? But I found it quite hard to like kind of readjust and stuff. Not that like I didn't know a lot of the guys. A lot of the guys that were in those positions that did really well to keep everything going during that 4 years, I knew a lot of those guys who were like younger guys coming up through the scene before I got signed, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, it was never outwardly anything like that, but it is weird. And I think looking back at it now, I think at the time I was more paranoid of like, am I getting like, you know, was it me that like killed the scene? Like, do you know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, really?
You do feel like
because,
that
because
bit.
You
it's
left
like,
it very
yeah,
suddenly.
Yeah, and like there was a little bit of a, you know, thing, but like also at the same time, you kind of grow up a little bit and you're just like, at the end of the day, what you realize is whatever situation you're in, it doesn't matter. Like, you've got to keep working and keep doing what you're doing and keep getting over, keep getting good crowd reactions, keep, you know, moving merch and all that stuff and doing everything, getting in shape in the gym and all that stuff and doing all that. But like, I'd be lying if I said that there wasn't. But at the same time, when you get released from WWE, you do have a little bit of an identity crisis period, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you feel that, this isn't me putting words in my mouth, because you talk about how the locker room was different. Do you think people maybe looked at you differently, knowing that you'd kind of done the WWE thing and then returned?
I think it was kind of weird, but if I look back at it now, I kind of understand it from... At the time, yes, probably.
Yeah.
But if I look back at it now, I'm like, I can kind of understand as well.
Mm.
It's 4 years, you know what I mean? And like, a lot changed in that time.
Yeah.
And like, the scene was still going on here too, right? So it was just like... What was the question again?
Do you feel like that... That when you returned, people looked at you differently?
I feel like, like I said, at the time, I feel like that I felt that was the case maybe at the time. But looking back at it now, I kind of understand that there is a bit of a readjustment period, because it was weird. Like 25 people got released, like in the, I think there was more. I don't even know if it was more than 25, right?
I think it was around 25, no
but
more than
right
30.
Back into the pool of existing talent that were already in those. Like, it's a really
who had filled those spots while you guys had gone off.
Yeah, it's a really
gallivanting.
Like, when's that ever happened in, like, it probably has, I don't know, but it's a unique thing to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Coming back into a scene where now, and like the economy's gone down, and one of the things that suffers most when an economy goes down is stuff like performing arts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now there's less money around post-COVID, and there's less shows, and you know, a bunch of the talent like is out in America because they got signed to contracts and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's looking back at it, there could have been a million things, but I've gotten to a point in my life now where I probably wasn't like that when I was here last time, where I'm just like, it is what it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, you kind of drive yourself crazy overthinking about it. I'd be lying if I said I didn't think and overthink about it, but I think I've gotten to a point now where I'm just like, you know, in the end, that's what led to making a move and making a change, right?
That's it, yeah. And you say, like, it's one of those things, it certainly hasn't happened in the UK scene until that point. And you know what? Should WWE pull the trigger on this global localization thing as they were talking about doing, I imagine it would happen again. And you will have another situation where other talent will fill that void going forward. I personally think the UK scene will always regenerate itself, because there is enough amazing people.
Because there's
a
wrestling heritage and there's a wrestling identity here that it's its own, right? You know, like how Mexican wrestling will always, and Japanese.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
British wrestling will always regenerate.
It'll always
regenerate. It's a good way of saying it, because there's good talent here and there's good schools here. Do you know what I mean? And like, there's always, like, British people have a natural ability to be able to be good wrestlers like that because of what's been set up for us over the last, what, like 50, 60 years.
Because the one thing that some of the best schools will teach you before everything else is the fundamentals.
Exactly.
And whereas a lot of places won't.
So many of the American wrestlers that I met, especially a lot of the older wrestlers, I got to go to WrestleMania as part of Access, right?
Yeah.
And so many of like the older wrestlers were like, so, what's the word? Thing for British wrestlers, like they were putting over that a lot of the British wrestlers.
Complimentary.
I lost my English there. They were very complimentary of all the British style and the British wrestlers and stuff. And like, you know, I'll go into it when we get into Canada, but it was like that a lot in Canada as well, where I found that, oh, there's a little bit more, like, I'm quite surprised at how popular NXT UK was around the world, because there's parts of Canada that I went to where people were like, a lot of the wrestlers as well that I found were like very complimentary of the show, and like,
it's funny,
everyone found it a very good, like, looking back at it, everyone said, oh, it was a very fun hour.
Yeah, it was, you know, so very beloved by an international audience, but I guess it didn't have that love locally in the UK as much, because I guess because of what many perceived it did to the independent scene over here.
I think also it's understandable as well, because there's a point where you could see the same people that were wrestling at NXT UK on an indie show for a lot less money have a lot longer mats because they're not restricted by TV time and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Again, that's the difference between being a TV wrestler and an independent wrestler on the indies, which is so much fun. You get so much more freedom. Whereas TV time, most of my matches at NXT UK were like, okay, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, if it was a singles match, right? And then you do what you can during that, but you are like, you can't have, and like a lot of TV matches are like, oh, this is like more to put the other person over. So like you do your job, right? That's part
of... It's a different skill set.
Yeah, it's almost like a different sport, to be honest with
you,
sometimes.
Yeah, it's a different sport.
But when you can meld the two together, you can meld together a pretty good professional wrestler there if you can get both aspects of it.
I think people are going to appreciate listening to this because what we're going to talk about now is your exploits in Canada and how, as an independent wrestler, you essentially built a Canadian tour for yourself. Now, you already had the heritage in Canada. You wrestled there before anywhere else. And obviously, you trained by Lance Storm. But how did the conversation start about you going back to Canada?
So basically, like 2023 comes about. And that's like 6 months after getting released from WWE and like staying quite busy on the scene and really enjoying it.
Coming back to all these places we talked about.
I had like some really fun matches as well. Like got around, wrestled some of the top guys that had been, you know, working on the scene whilst I was gone. Like I got to wrestle Leon Slater. I got to wrestle Michael Oku. I wrestled Joe Hendry at North for the Impact Digital Media title.
Oh, that was a good time.
Do you know what I mean? I believe in Joe Hendry though, right?
What's going on? Phenomenal. By the time you hear this, he may have very well been played on Radio 1 on the chart show.
Unbelievable. What a rise.
Incredible.
Right?
I've got a really and that's good a great Joe example of well. Somebody who has bet on themselves and gone, I think I'm going to throw myself into this and make this happen. Joe Hendry's always been, like yourself, somebody who's just gone, actually, I want to do that. So I'm going to manifest that.
And he's actually someone that's helped
me
out as well a lot during, and we'll get into it as well, but like he was one of the important people that helped me get into what I ended up doing after.
So when it came to that Canada tour, that first one since the release, how do you even begin to put something like that together?
So like I'm sat at home, right? And like I'm like, well, I need to go somewhere. What's my next step, right? And like it was just okay, maybe the next step is to try and go to America. So initially I wanted to go to America because there's an actual certain type of visa that you can get. I think it's an individual of extraordinary abilities or something like that, right? Like that you have to have. That's their words, not mine, right?
Right.
So then I thought that I might be able to get a visa because I've already wrestled for WWE for 4 years and I've lived in America in the past as well when I had my banking job, right? And I thought if I can put together a decent case, I might be able to end it. Like, in the end, I didn't end up doing it because of the cost, but I thought I might be able to put together a good case to be able to go out as an independent, you know, wrestler and get like a 3-year American visa, right? And that'd be cool because I get to do American indies, right?
Yeah.
But in the end, it ended up being so expensive that it was actually Leighton Buzzard, who I ended up messaging.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, I'd seen he's done a few things in Canada, so he was actually very helpful to me. And like, good luck on his recovery, by the way.
Yeah, he's on a road back, isn't he? Just a freak injury stuff.
Yeah.
Match,
so
and
I was
he's
just
out
like,
for a while,
but... yeah. At that time, I was just like messaging people around, and I messaged him, and he was just like, yeah, like you can. Professional wrestling falls under performing arts in Canada. And that means that as part of the Commonwealth, any British wrestler can go and wrestle in Canada and vice versa as well without a visa and without a work permit. There's just like a form that you need to fill out. It costs like $15 or something, right? That
so means because that you can go. You're part of the Commonwealth, you didn't have to, apart from this form, you didn't need to do anything?
Nothing. As a professional wrestler. So as long as I was making money via professional wrestling in Canada, I'm allowed to go to Canada as much as I want. I think it's the same for stand-up comedians and actors and stuff. But I think WWE, it's actually something that WWE helped with. I think WWE lobbied with the Canadian government to ensure that, because they'd always run shows in Canada, right? They're always running Canada. And I think it made it easier for them to have their talent go without having to like have visa problems.
Yeah.
So that kind of ended up applying to all of professional wrestling, which then means that I can basically go live in Canada and like do what I did, all above board, make money and like, you know, pay rent at places, stay at hotels, whatever. We'll get into it. But like,
yeah.
So that kind of is what I was just like, okay, now I've got to kind of put this tour together.
It's easier than a lot of people probably would have thought it was. Because I think you're initially put off by the idea of, oh, I've got to get a visa, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But once you write it down, you go, actually, it's this form to fill out, do that, and then it's a case of
and then
who
ready.
Wants me.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, that's the... I mean, logistically speaking, if you want to get into it, it's the most ball-achy thing in the world, right? So, like, I went... So I did that. I booked the flight. I got ready, you know, got everything ready to go. And I was just like, okay, now I need to, like, fill this tour out. And I actually only booked a one-way flight initially. So the
we talked about it, and you were like, yeah, I'm only going one way.
Yeah, I'm only going one way. I was just like, I don't know where I'm going to end up. Because at that point, I was just like, take it, bet on yourself, right? Just get out and see what you can do, right? At least it'll get you in North America, right?
Yes.
And, like, also, like, it's kind of like... coming in handy that I know people already in Canada out west. So the cheapest way that I could figure it out was, like, I got, like, a train from Newcastle to London, a flight from London to Iceland, right? Reykjavik, about 5-hour layover in there, Reykjavik to Hamilton, Ontario. Stayed over there because the self-transfer was only an hour and a half. So I ended up opting to take the flight the next day. And I've got a cousin in Canada. So he came and picked me up. I hung out with him that evening, flew out the next morning from Toronto Pearson, which is a different airport, to Edmonton, right? And then that's when I had my first show. Like, that's when I did my first
And that
booking,
worked out
right?
cheaper than just a direct flight.
He saved me about 250 quid, mate. Honestly, like...
And you were five hours in Reykjavik. Iceland's gorgeous.
Yeah, the airport, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only a small airport.
Yeah.
Do you want to top up on your water before we carry on?
Right. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good to go, yeah.
So when you land in Canada, when you finally get there and you've spent some time with your cousin and you're there, so how many bookings did you have on the schedule when you landed?
Yeah, so I had like seven or eight, actually. I had like a pretty good first 10 days. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool because I was flying out to Edmonton and I had Love Wrestling in Edmonton. That was my first one. Yeah. Then I had WrestleCore. It's run by a guy called Cobra Kai, who I kind of knew about and met when I was first over in Canada, but I reached out to a lot of people and, like, you know, kind of cast the net out, and I just told them, look, I was part of NXT UK, I trained in Canada, and, like, I'm looking for opportunities out in Canada.
So that's how you did it, really. Once you had that flight booked and that kind of rough idea of where you would be, was it kind of just sort of doorstepping promotions?
Yeah, kind of. And it was like, I was lucky to have a few contacts, but, like, one contact leads to another. And I will say, like, a lot of the Canadian promotions, one, like, it helped, like, that's when, like, when I tell people I did NXT UK, that's when that helped, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, all right, there's an ex-NXT UK wrestler coming over to Canada, and, like, the word got around, and actually, I'm very thankful to, like, everyone out there, even a lot of the promotions and stuff, like, for giving me all the contacts and actually helping me out to make sure, like, they kept me busy, man. Like, I was like, they gave me exactly what I wanted. It was exactly what I was missing, was, like, a busy schedule. Right. And it seemed really nice that, like, a lot of the promotions were like, whenever I tell them, like, one logistical difficulty is, like, being one place one day and not knowing where you're going to be the next day and, like, trying to figure that out. Because I was getting flown around as well, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. You're getting flown about and promotions are paying for your travel to, like, fly around the country. But then logistically, you just have to be physically ready for it, right? Yeah. So, like, it was, you know, it was very helpful. And, like, the guys at Smash Wrestling really helped me out. And, like, I ended up, you know, I ended up wrestling for so many promotions out there, but, like, it was really helpful that I got into a place where I reached out to them. I took the first step, but they were all very receptive. And then it meant that I had, like, a good little schedule, and it started out west. So I was, like, 7-8 hours time difference away from home. And, like, I had, like, my first few bookings was, like, in Vancouver for WrestleCore. I did, like, 3, and then I did Edmonton. And then I did, like, Abbotsford, which is in somewhere in British Columbia. And it was for, like, this company called All Star Wrestling. And it's kind of like family type shows as well. And, like, that's what I had going. So I knew that, okay, I've got that money coming in. I'll sell some T-shirts. I'll sell some merch. You know, I've got some stuff coming in. So it was good to, like, hit the ground running that way.
Is there a pressure on doing that for it to be profitable? Or is it a case of, you know, because some gigs like this, sometimes it's just a case of putting yourself out there. If you can break even, great.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of establishing yourself.
So, like, it is that thing of, like, because there was a lot of opportunity out in Canada because there's a lot of promotions out there. Mm. And, like, I guess maybe because I went in the summertime, it was quite a good thing. Like, it ended up being quite, like, financially profitable, right? Mm. It ended up being quite, you know, if you're busy wrestling, like, later on when I went out west, I ended up taking sessions at Battle Arts, right? At Santino's place. And he was very graciously helpful to, like, give me an opportunity and give me a chance to, like, you know, you can make money during the week taking sessions and stuff. And I've got like a little group there of like really talented guys and girls and stuff that I like, I look after kind of whenever I'm over.
So
like,
how did that conversation happen with Santino and Battle Arts then?
So that's when I went out west. So like I did like my first few days out in Calgary and in Vancouver and stuff. Mm. Like I was lucky because I knew people out there. That was a good place to go initially, because that's when like one of the wrestlers that I used to wrestle with, Sheik Akbar Shabazz, kept me in his basement. He had a little basement flat, so I ended up staying there for like 7 or 8 days. He had cats as well. I've got like a serious fear of like cats and dogs.
Oh, really?
So I had to like face my fears as well on this trip.
You're doing it all, aren't you?
Mate.
Were they all right? Were the cats
all right? Yeah, they were all right. One of them was very curious, but like it kept like he told me that like, oh, if you don't close the door properly, they'll come and like sleep with you at night. And I was just like putting stuff on the door. When I was in Vancouver, one of the promoters' place that we stayed at was like that had dogs, and that's even a bigger fear of mine. It's like an irrational fear. I don't hate them. I don't hate exclusive.
Yeah,
breaking
fine.
News. I don't hate dogs.
Doesn't hate
like,
dogs.
I do have a fear of dogs. There's a story to that, but like basically, yeah, like I was actually on this trip out west on the other side of the fucking world, facing my fears, you know what I mean? It was weird, man. And like I got to go to like Vancouver. When I was in Vancouver, I was literally like, this is probably the furthest away from home I've ever been.
Gosh.
Right, and the time difference to like obviously to like catch up with people with family and people back home and my missus and stuff, it was like an eight-hour time difference. You know what I mean? So it's a weird thing. Like when I like started to decide to wrestle, I had two options when I was working in banking. I was like, I'm either going to travel the world or I'm going to wrestle. Right, and the reason why I started wrestling was because when I tried, if I went for a year traveling, I'd still had to come back and go back to my normal life. Mm. But like here I am now, going to places where I never thought I'd end up, and I'm getting like paid to be there and flown around and stuff. It was just like the first 2 weeks was just amazing, man. Honestly, like seeing Vancouver and going back to Calgary, I ended up staying like I was lucky in Calgary. I ended up staying at like student accommodation in Calgary because all the students was away for the summertime. Mm. So like they opened it up. So I got like a really cheap deal. I told them, oh, I'm an ex-WWE wrestler and I'm in town. I told them the truth. Like I'm an independent wrestler, right? Can you do me a deal, whatever? And like, I was like, oh, can you throw in breakfast as well? Because that way I'd have like one meal sorted. So when you're on these trips, you're thinking about, you're trying to maximize how much money you can make, but then you're trying to minimize how much you can spend as well, right? Because you're an independent wrestler and you're traveling and stuff. Like you got to pay for like food and stuff. So I'm like, you know, like taking like extra bottles of milk upstairs for my cereal and stuff and that. So like that's how kind of how I got by, is like kind of like you get by on what you make. And like I was quite lucky, like I ended up having a little bit out there, so then it meant that I could extend the trip out more. Mm. Which then led it to being 3 months in the end. But like the western leg of that trip was amazing, to be honest with you. Summertime in Calgary was awesome. I went back to like the Lancer school and like went back to like where I used to live, and for 6 months out there, it was really cool to be back. And then I wrestled out in Calgary as well. So like that was pretty cool there. And then I flew out. I ended up wrestling in Saskatchewan. It'll probably be on your list. I ended up trying to basically, I had to find a way of getting from Calgary to Toronto.
Right.
And then I thought there's this promotion that runs in Saskatchewan, which is in Saskatoon. So what I ended up doing was, I got a bus from Calgary to Edmonton, got in the car with the lads. We did about 8 hours to Saskatoon, right?
Okay.
And I'm like, this is through the like Canadian prairies, which is like out west, completely open, and you see nothing for hours, mate. Like it was like 8 hours. And it got me to Saskatoon. We did the show there, which was awesome. And then I managed to get like a cheap flight from Saskatoon to Toronto. And then that's kind of how I got from west to east, where I was going to spend more of my time.
Right.
Was like, oh, let me like travel part of the way with the lads. I'm booked on that show in Saskatoon, and then like that's kind of how logistically you can make
it. And that's part of the joy of the wrestling tour experience, isn't it? Is traveling with the other wrestlers and spending time with them and getting to know them.
Exactly. And you meet new people and you see new places, and that's why it was just like, I'm getting to do my traveling. I'm getting to live my traveling dream as well as like my wrestling dream. And it's kind of like the best. You're not rich and you're not staying in nice hotels. And you know what I mean? You're not whatever. It's a simple life.
Mm.
But if you want to be a wrestler and live your wrestling dream, like do you ever watch like Wrestling Road Diaries back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
And how they would like, that's kind of like what, like that independent lifestyle. That's kind of like the struggle of the thing that I was kind of going through at that point. But it was kind of really fun and part of the experience. I was like, this is exactly what I needed.
Yeah, it's part of the fun, isn't it?
Back home, do you know what I mean? Of like being out there and traveling and stuff. So
you obviously had your wife back home. She wasn't, was she, because you guys got married last year.
Yeah.
So you head over there on a one-way ticket, and then once you're over there, you go, actually, I'm going to stay here a bit longer.
Yeah, like
that's there's got to be some
that in it.
How did that conversation go down?
Well, I'm very lucky. So, like, my wife is very supportive. Raz is really supportive of my wrestling. Like, you see her at shows and stuff. She always comes down. Yeah. She's actually a wrestling fan in her own right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that helps around the house whenever I want to watch wrestling. Like, we both want to watch wrestling. So, it, like, on a day to day basis, I'm very thankful to have someone like that because it means that, like, she'll always support me and stuff. So, like, you know, it wasn't. Like, it's not easy being away. No matter how strong your relationship can be, it's never easy being away from each other, especially with the time difference and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, it is hard. Don't get me wrong, it is. But, like, we've always been of the attitude of, like, all right, yes to the thing, to doing it, and we'll figure it out. It's always been like that. And, like, you know, naturally it's going to be up and down and it's going to be a rocky road and stuff. But, like, she's always been supportive of it and, like, I think within like the first, I can't remember when it was I booked my return flight, but she was seeing how busy I was out there and she could tell how happy I was when we were catching up on the phone. And like, she was like, all right, well, like you're getting somewhere with it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're busy and like, I'm having good matches. I'm enjoying myself. I'm like, one of the shows in Vancouver was at like a rock show. One of the ones was like a lucha type show where they had like a bunch of guys from Mexico come down and like some really good talent on that show. And it was like an outdoor show. And the sun shining and like you're wrestling and like one of the matches I did in the dark when everyone's like pissed up and on all sorts. It's Vancouver, it's Canada, so they're living on all sorts, right? But I'm wrestling with the floodlights are on and I'm wrestling one of the matches at night as well. And like, it's just a great vibe. Like she saw that I was enjoying it. So I think that's why like, she was just like, yeah, like do it because you're going to get somewhere. So then like, it did like, it helped. It was hard, but like it helped and like, I've lived like a single life before, if that makes sense, even yeah. before wrestling. So I was kind of like, it was kind of good, cool to be back at it, like kind of have no less responsibilities and stuff.
Yeah, just being your own man and going
yeah,
out and doing
it. And like,
thing
I
again.
Could go on crazy walks and stuff. And like, I like to go on crazy walks and like, go into nature and stuff and enjoy the summertime and stuff. And like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, let's go on a crazy one. And Raz will be like, oh, that's a bit too long. Mm-hmm. This time around, I just like, headphones in, get the gym out of the way, headphones in, off you go. And like, all I was doing out there was wrestling. The whole purpose of being out there was, if I wasn't wrestling, I wasn't kind of doing it justice of being out there.
Yeah.
So everything was pointed towards wrestling. So if I'm going for a long walk, I'm going because like, I want to enjoy it, but it's good exercise. You know what I mean? I'll get to the gym, I'm like, you know, I've got my bookings coming up, I'm training, I'm going to training schools and stuff. Like, you're kind of immersed in the world, which kind of, for some reason, I couldn't get that here. So, like, I kind of had to fly across to the other side of the world to, like, get
consistent. Well, because you're so far away from all creature comforts that you have at home that you have no choice but to be immersed. It's like if you're doing a show, in York, you can't really, there's no real excuse for you to stay over in York and do that lifestyle live a couple hundred miles up the road,
like,
just drive home.
As well, like, I'll find like it wasn't as busy in the UK as well. Like, I wasn't getting stuff every week, and like, I was used to like when I was on the Indies before, I was used to having like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sometimes you get like a Tuesday or a Thursday. Do you know what I mean?
It's going somewhere where all of a sudden you're new again.
Yeah, yeah, you're fresh. You're fresh.
You're
like,
new,
you're,
aren't
yeah,
you?
Exactly.
And, and that's not a diss of what you do in the north in the UK, because obviously
the northeast
is where
right.
you're all over the place, and rightly so. But for over there, you're brand new again.
I looked at it as like, you know, back in the day when you'd move territories.
Yeah, it's like, so you've like, moved territories.
Yeah, so like, we don't have a territory system now, but the world is a smaller place. Wrestlers are going all over the world right now. So I moved to the Canadian territory, if that makes
sense.
Yeah.
You had to find yourself in the
Canadian. You freshen up and learn a new hold, and you know what I mean? Like, when I was out in Calgary and stuff, I was learning from people that got trained by, like, Tyson Kidd and, like, Brett and all that stuff, and I was, like, learning new stuff, and, like, it's really weird, like, how the styles are quite similar as well, but you learn new stuff. You're in front of new crowds. The crowds are a different demographic, and, like, a big part of, like, learning how to be a good wrestler is listening to a crowd and stuff, so I'm getting that every single week in a different town. I'm learning how to communicate, because even though we speak the same language, the culture is different. Even within Canada, the culture in Vancouver is completely different to the culture in like Toronto, compared to Montreal, compared to fucking Saskatchewan. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. So like, you're getting over with all of these crowds and it's just like, oh, cool. Like, it gave me a real confidence built. Like, it built my confidence a lot, where I was just like, sometimes when you're not getting booked and you sat at home, you think, well, I must be shit. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It gets in your head. We're all wrestlers of fucking insecure sometimes.
Oh yeah, I mean? because everything you do is based on your personality, the way you present yourself, whether you do or don't get booked, it's all down to
that. Exactly, absolutely.
And you take it as that, and you can't help but get hurt by that sometimes if it doesn't go your way. But going somewhere new just gives you that chance to be new
again. Yeah, and it's just like, okay, if I fail here, it'll be because of me. Do you know what I mean? Or if I succeed here, it'll be because of me, because it's fresh.
Yeah.
It's a new place where I can, like, it's kind of a clean slate, but, like, it really did give my, I genuinely do feel like it gave my career a new lease of life. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I think wrestlers should do that, though. Like, as an independent wrestler, you are, the whole world is your oyster. whole world is your work office.
It's your office, isn't it? Yeah, that's the whole world is your office.
You should be getting yourself out there to try and wrestle in as many places as possible, because you've only got a certain amount of time that you can do this. Whilst you're young, or whilst you, you know, whatever age you are. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm in my opinion, like, if you're taking it seriously, you've got to want to have the intent of doing it as much as possible to get the most out of yourself as possible, is kind of what I've always thought. So then, like, all of that stuff decide, like, it gate, like, I'm getting all of it so much, and it's so intense, and I'm traveling. It's like, it's almost like a bloody overload. Do you know what I mean? All of a sudden, going from like a quieter lifestyle to like all of this in my head, and it was awesome to be
there. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Talked about there about things that you learned, new ways to look at things while you were over there. Is there something in terms of like the granular of the wrestling that you learned while on this tour of Canada that blew your mind that you've utilized back in the UK?
I found like the crowds are out there were a lot more like, there were a lot more there to like, Canadians are a lot nicer. Canadians are very nice people. So like the crowds were a lot more fun to wrestle in front of, I guess.
Yeah.
Or like I was not a lot more fun because the British crowds were awesome as well. Not to say that. I'm saying I was actually surprised at how much fun they were to wrestle in front of, if that makes sense. I wrestled for this company called New Nation Extreme Wrestling in Vancouver. And we did like the Commodore Ballroom, which is this famous elite like place in out in Vancouver, and there was like 900 people there. And I went out there, I was just like, bloody hell, like, this is a vibe, man. Do you know what I mean? And like, another thing I was actually surprised at as well, like throughout the whole tour as well, like there's good talent out there as well. There's some like, there's a bunch of talent that come to the UK, you know, like Vaughn Vertigo comes over all the time. And Gabriel Fuerza. A lot of those guys were really good to me as well. Like a lot of the wrestlers as well. Especially in wrestling, it can be a bit weird sometimes when you're a new kid that's come in, and I was like, oh, like, I don't know if they're going to be weird towards me. I'm like the new kid in school, right?
Yeah.
Especially having done something in wrestling as well. But I'll be honest with you, like, all of these guys were so welcoming. A lot of them helped me out and, like, you know, gave me places, like, where I could stay and, like, promotions that I could get in touch with. And, like, you know, it was awesome to see, actually. So, like, one of the, I guess, like, because I put myself out in an uncomfortable position, it was kind of surprising to see how many helping hands there are out there if you put yourself in that position. Mm. If that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them where we're very reluctant as people to ask for help.
Yeah, especially British people. British people, we're just so reserved.
Aren't we? We're like, we'll do it. We're fine. It's almost like a weakness if you do that. But, you know, we're so lucky that in the sense that I think if we reach out and do say, actually, could help with this, you'll be amazed at the amount of people that will reach out and help you.
Oh, mate, so much, man. Yeah. Like, honestly, like, because I made the big step to get out there, people kind of like, it was cool. People kind of looked at it. Like, everyone thought it was really cool. Like, I was getting messages from back home as well. It's like, oh, it looks like you're having a really good time. And I'm like, actually, yeah, it does look like I'm having a really good time. I am having a really good time.
Because I am having a good time.
But honestly, man, like, it's like, it was weird. I only realized this today, by the way. Like, as I was walking in, like, I wore a black shirt today and I wore a white shirt the last time I came.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, really weird. And it's weird. I got philosophical. It was on the walk down and I was just like, I'm wearing a black shirt. And I was just like, it's kind of weird because, like, wrestling breaks you down a lot. So then you get kind of thing, or am I okay to enjoy this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I'm in a black shirt because I've been broken down through. Do you know what I mean? Because like,
am I allowed to enjoy it again?
Yeah, yeah. And then like, kind of for a little bit, it took me a little bit of that time where I was just like, oh, I can actually enjoy this. I'm comfortable here. I don't have to feel, it's like what we talked about going back into dressing rooms, and maybe it was just in my own head, where it's like, I don't have to feel like self-conscious here, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So then it meant that like, there's a freeing about that. It's like I said, it's all benefits of going to a new territory that you realize when you get there, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, you've got to push yourself to get out there. Then you realize, oh, it's like, there's nothing wrong with staying wherever you're staying, but also there is a lot to be gained by getting out there and like learning and like seeing a different perspective on things. Maybe I got a bit too like negative in my own head, and going to Canada helped me kind of.
I think when I remember seeing you.
We all go through these ups
and
downs,
do.
Innit?
I remember seeing you at North a couple of times before you went to Canada, and you would always ask, you always say, look, does that look all right? Was that all right? And there'll be something in the match that you'd been annoyed by. I can't remember what they were, but there was always a little something I could
probably
tell that, like,
stupid,
you were.
Something
in, you know what, in the grand scheme of the world, it was something that probably noticed and wasn't worth. But I think maybe it's what you're saying, in the sense that you probably did get a lot in your own head and needed just 100%. To remind yourself that it was fun again. And I get it, because you come from, you spent 2 years in a part of the industry that was very much like, this is the process, this is what you'll do. You'll do that there, that there, that there, that there, that there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you kind of get sort of, you lose a little bit of yourself in that. And I guess you going to Canada, doing this pantheon of matches at different places and getting back to what wrestling
basics,
was,
yeah,
back, the basics,
to all, back to the fun.
It helped you, kind of helped you shake that off and find yourself
massively,
again.
Massively, honestly, it was just like, this little period now for me, looking back whenever I'm done with this, looking back, this period will be like, very remembered very fondly
myself,
because like of the good times that I've had. Like, you do, like, you wrestle in different places, like I said, there's like wrestling in front of 900 people and then wrestling in front of like, I don't know, we in Calgary we wrestled in front of like 25 people on a paid show where it started raining outdoors, but me and Mo Jabari still ended up like pulling out a decent match. Do you know what I mean? It was fun. So like, you're getting all that aspect of it. You know, I burped a little.
That's all right. It's all right. You mentioned how Joe Hendry was one of those people that you're very grateful for.
Yeah. So basically, when I got to Toronto. So Toronto, I've got some family out in Toronto. So like, there's a massive in Canada, there is a massive South Asian population, right? But specifically, Toronto is, I think it's the most multicultural place in the world, right? Sorry. And one, a massive, there's Indians, Pakistanis, Sri Lankans, like, it's a massive population. Like, anyone that's Asian here has got family in Canada. Like, that's all my mates and stuff. Like, all of my Indian or Pakistani mates have all got family out in, like, Mississauga or in Toronto or somewhere, right? So I do too, which meant that like, I had a place to stay and a place to crash. And like, I'm really close to my family out there. I'm very thankful to them for letting me, you know, for helping me out there as well. What was it?
So Joe Hendry was a big part of that, wasn't he?
I don't know where I ended up from this to that. That one out.
Well, you were talking about how you had family over there, so that might have been a part
of so basically that meant that I ended up spending more of that time in Toronto.
You kind of had a home base.
Yeah, edit that. Yeah, exactly. So it basically meant that I was in Toronto for like the last 2 months of my time there. There's more wrestling out in Toronto and in Ontario because there's Montreal's close by and there's a lot of wrestling in like Hamilton and all these little towns and stuff. So I spent more time out there, but TNA or Impact at the time, they were actually in Toronto at the time. So I thought, I'll pop down, right? I'm in Canada. I'll pop down. So it was kind of weird. Like at that time, I'd already started taking sessions at Santino's place as well. And like, I kind of knew like the trainees and stuff, but I was very much used to like them not knowing who I was. Mm. Like I wasn't a big part of NXT UK in it. So like, I wasn't like a main event or whatever. So I was kind of used to it. So then when I got to TNA tapings, there wasn't that many people that even I knew. And I turned up in a suit looking good and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So like, there wasn't that. So like, obviously I saw Joe and like, Joe was like, oh, like, it's good that you're out here and stuff, and like, it's good that you came and all that stuff. And I was just like, oh, like, yeah, good to hang out. But like, yeah, not a lot of people knew who I was, but it was kind of weird at that day when I was catering. Like, Josh Alexander was across the room, and I went up to him and was like, oh, I should go shake hands with Josh and stuff. Mm. I went to shake hands with him, and he goes, oh, I know who you are. I already know who you are. I'm just like, because like, I was so used to people not knowing, and like, we're here, like, no one recognizes me in Asda, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're used to it. So like, when actually like good wrestlers, like, and it turned out that he watched a lot of NXT UK and he was a big fan, like a lot of wrestlers watch everything, like I watch everything, so you end up knowing a lot of people, and he goes, oh, I already know who you are. So then like, it kind of like made me more comfortable and stuff. And then like, back to, I'm going all over the fucking houses here, but back to Joe Hendry, basically Joe saw me out there. And then, like, we kind of stayed in touch and stuff, and I knew that TNA were coming to the UK after I came back. So then I ended up booking my flight around about that time, like, a few days before they came back. I thought 3 months is probably about as much as I can do as well, right?
You stretched it as much for now.
Stretched it as much as I could do. So, like, when I came, like, I'd already gone to the TNA. And obviously, Lance is an agent at TNA, and obviously I got, like, that's who helped me, like, get through to actually be able to get an invite to the show and stuff. And then when I came back,
he wouldn't do that for everybody though as well. I think that's a big thing for,
yeah, I think,
you know,
so
that shows the status you had with someone like Lance Storm, who went, yeah. You're not going to squander an opportunity like that, you're going to drink that in, you're going to compose yourself and present yourself in such a manner,
you're not going to make an idiot out of yourself,
and in return make an idiot out of me.
You'll turn up looking good and all that stuff,
because you're kind of representing Lance Storm as well when Lance Storm has gone. 100% sending this guy,
that's wrestling, isn't it? I want to put my name to someone that's going to actually, you know, make me.
They want to go, he's good, he's fine.
Yeah, so like, I'd already wrestled Joe at North, right, for the Impact Digital Media title.
Yeah.
So, and like, I've known Joe for a while. Like, we did like a Fight Forever tour years ago together, and like, we're on a bus and it was awesome. Like, we were playing Mafia, or like, it was awesome. Like, we got to know each other a little bit. So then, like, basically, he was part of the UK tour when they came back, and he was actually the one that called me first thing in the morning when I came back from Canada to be like, oh, like, I don't think he'll mind me telling this, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a good story,
it's
isn't it?
It's a good story.
Joe don't care. Joe's number one in the charts. He's probably not going to listen to this.
He's not bothered.
But yeah, he was like, I came to the Newcastle show, right?
You were at the Newcastle show, and I was
trying to get myself booked on the show, innit?
Well, you were trying, and it was fairly successful.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I had just come back from Canada, and like, the last few days on my Canada trip were crazy, because like, I wrestled on the first day, I wrestled on the fucking last day to like maximize my money in it.
Yeah.
And then like, I was like, basically like, kind of in my own head, like, just dead for the first three or four days. And Raz was like, oh, you know, like, TNA coming to Newcastle tomorrow. I was like, oh, I'll pop down, like, because from being in Canada for 3 or 4 months, I got to know a lot of like the TNA roster as well. It was pretty cool. Like, I remember, like, I did one in Canada for C4, which is like one of the top promotions out there. It's awesome. And Josh, at that time, I'd gotten to know him, but I think he didn't have anyone to drive back with all the way down. So we ended up like driving back like 5 hours. So I got to pick his brain and stuff. Do you know what I mean? And like, you get to be around, like, I think I shared a locker room with Jake something as well. Like, you're around, being in Canada means that you're around a lot of the North American talent a lot more. Like, I was on the same shows as like Bollywood Boys and
you had a banger with Rohit Raju as well.
Yes, I wrestled Rohit. Yeah, that was this time around when I went the second time. Yeah, I had a good one with Rohit. I wrestled Gabriel Fuerza, Vaughn Vertigo. There was a bunch of guys. You know what I mean? Like, where was I?
So you've come into the... don't you worry, I'm keeping you right. So you've done this, and you kind of got to know everybody in the TNA locker room. So coming to Newcastle everyone.
Yeah, I was a lot more comfortable, right?
And I think that's important when you go to those things, just to see everyone, let everyone know that you're there and who you are.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
And then, so the show comes and goes, and then...
I didn't get on, did I?
you didn't, but then what happened was we went down to Coventry, and we had 2 nights in Coventry. Who should turn up on the...
Well, that's what happened. So, like, yeah, like I remember, like, Will wrestled in the main event of that Newcastle show.
Yeah.
And I was sat at the top watching it. It was awesome.
Brilliant
the whole
match.
Show was great. And I was just like, I've come this far. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, let me visualize this TN, like this, it was Impact at the time, wasn't it? Let me visualize this Impact thing. What's it called? You visualize it in your head.
Manifest,
right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm weird with stuff like that. I'm like, let me just do it. All right, let me just stare at it for a minute or so. And then I went, right, whatever. And then like, I went home, went, and I was just like, it's fine. Like, I'd just come back from Canada. I was like, and I still had like wrestling coming up. I was like, all right, like we move on. It's all good. Do you know what I mean? You get used to being disappointed in wrestling. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and then like, I went to sleep and I wake up in the morning and I've got an Instagram call. He won't mind me telling this, right?
Nah.
I've got an Instagram call from Joe Hendry. So I pick up the phone. I'm like, I know what this is. I already know what this is.
Yeah.
So he goes, oh, like, you know, we need someone to wrestle Rich Swann. Can you make it down to Coventry? Right. And Raz is sleeping next to me. So like I wake her up and I was just like, oh, Joe just called. And instead of doing anything, she's just like, right, how are we going to get down there? Like, how are we going to make it? Right. So that's then it. We found a way of making it down there in time. It was a bit of a rush. It was a bit
but
crazy.
This is why I love the way that you think, because you're very similar to me. Because in terms of my radio experience, I've always said yes and gone, I'll figure it out after. Yep, that's fine, I'll be there. Yeah.
And that's right, wrestling.
How do I get there? Because it's easy just to get something like that and go, oh, I can't because I'm here.
Santino's a story that when they said, oh, can you speak Italian? He was like, yep. And then he had to go and like learn it.
You went and learn Italian.
Yeah, because it's always like, that's in wrestling. Like, if they tell you like, yeah, I can do it, and then you go figure it out.
That's it.
That's what most of this trip was. It's just like, let me do it and we'll just figure it out. Like, there was times where I was just like fucking dragging my suitcases around trying to get to the next fucking... I slept at gyms, man. It was crazy. It was wild.
It's easy to do that when you're on your own doing it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah,
much 100%. Easier when you're on your own.
But yeah, like that got me down to... We got to Coventry. We did the show. Like, it was awesome wrestling for... To be honest, bro, I'm not going to lie. Like, thank you, Joe, man. Like,
oh, gosh,
there's a million wrestlers out there that you could have called. And like, in the UK, there's so many good fucking wrestlers around. You know what I mean? You could have called anyone to get to Coventry that day. And like, the fact that it was me that got picked, and it was cool because that kind of made the Canada trip last summer worthwhile as well. And it's just like, look at it kind of gave me the belief of like, look, I went and got myself out there and now I've gotten to wrestle for like TNA. They're just rebranded as well.
No, they were just about. Oh, they're just so about their last tour as Impact.
They announced it, though, the cool promo came.
Yeah, yeah, the TNA.
But it was for Impact. Yeah,
that was it. But it was still TNA, as far as I think.
Yeah, exactly.
That's on the poster forever.
And it was just like, yeah, it was awesome, man. Like super. Like it was kind of cool because I was nervous. Don't get me wrong, but having done WWE and that day made me very thankful for my WWE experience because it was like constantly 4 years of being under pressure of that TV pressure.
Yeah,
and being like a big show, wrestling for a big promotion. And I look back at it now, and I was just like, I definitely wasn't ready when I got signed to NXT UK because I was so new in the business. I don't feel like I didn't have my frustrate like. Not frustration. I guess it is. I didn't like go through enough, if that makes sense.
It's what you said at the beginning where you said you didn't feel like you'd earned, felt like you hadn't gone through the rough bit. And this is kind of, you were doing a delayed rough bit.
Yeah. And like, yes, also. Yeah. So like, but then also at that time, it was just like, well, I was just like, I was like, I wrestled TV. Like I was on like, you know, like I wrestled TV for WWE for 4 years. It was awesome. Do you know what I mean? I've been to WrestleMania as part of WWE, so I can do this. And it gives you a lot of self-belief.
Yeah.
And like, I guess that's kind of the theme of this is like me building my self-belief up through all of this. And it was a really nice cherry on top to be like, I went to Canada for 3 months and I actually got this out of it too, as well as the awesome Canada trip. Do you know what I mean?
Because so much of it comes from not so much the trip itself, but what doors that opens, what conversations that start, 100%. What DM threads that begins, you know.
Oh, mate, I've got them. Like, that's exactly what I've tell all the wrestlers now. I'm just like, travel, like, get out there because, like, this, like, a personal thing. It's just like, all of these borders are made by someone, aren't they? Like, in the world. So, like, we're all one place. And, like, that's why when I was in Canada, I was like, Vancouver's different to this place, to that place. So, Canada's one country, but they're all a bunch of different countries because the cultures are, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's just like, the whole world is your, like, as a wrestler, you'll be surprised at how much you can gain just by getting yourself out there and, like, if you can, like, go out and...
And it was really exciting to see that a lot recently. You just had WrestleMania and there were so many UK guys over there. A lot of them getting visas through Progress, which allowed them to go and do
amazing.
Stuff.
And make the most out of it.
And seeing the different ways in which they utilised that opportunity, not all through visas with Progress, but other ways as well, like Lou Nixon, who is from Newcastle as well.
It, man.
Lou absolutely stormed it.
He was on here last week, wasn't he?
He was here just before he went went to do Bloodsport, he came in and sat with us. And I was like, good. And that's someone else who manifested and made his own opportunity.
I love Lou.
From the UK. He's brilliant. He's incredible. And we're seeing a lot of talent who have, I think, been landlocked in the UK for so long, finally getting out. They're like Rio, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
And she's really getting a shot now as well, which I bloody love to see. And Will Cruz popping up on NWA Power.
That was awesome,
That's amazing to see.
I wrestle Will Cruz.
I was there, of course.
We did stuff at 1PW as well, quite a little bit together. Will's awesome. Like, yeah, it's great to see him doing stuff and like Ojimor, Darius, Leo. Like, there's British wrestlers are everywhere. CPF, like everyone's getting, especially like in Europe as well now. I just went to France, right? And they were talking about how so many of the British wrestlers are coming to France. I wrestled Tucker out there as well. Like, British wrestlers are wrestling each other out in Europe as well. And like, it is pretty cool. Like, it's like you say, it does regenerate.
Yeah.
Because right now, British wrestlers are in Canada, in America, in Mexico. Like, they're all over in Europe. Because the European scene's starting to, like, build up as well. Do you know
so there's
I mean? Going
like, to have to, therefore, stuff. Be more to come through. But I think we've got to talk about what's next for you, because you wanted to make a bigger... Make the announcement here, if that's something you still wanted to do.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, that's why I came. That's why we built all of this up as a promo for what's about to...
for what you're about to tell us.
So a Cultaholic exclusive.
Exclusive.
So my next Canada tour is from June 4th to July 22nd.
Hey!
So we're going to Canada again.
He's back, baby!
Pull out the Tim Hortons. Pull out the fucking Popeyes. Popeyes in Canada is awesome, mate. You get the biscuit.
Oh, the proper biscuit, not the British biscuit, the scones that you call them. But that's great.
So I'm back. I'm coming back in the summer. The summertime in Canada is awesome as well. I've already got a few bookings lined up. I'm available for bookings, so get in touch. DM. Where's the camera? Is it this?
It's straight down there.
Yeah,
that's
get in touch. DM. Email me all that stuff. Yeah, we want another busy tour, man. It's going to be my third one now. Yeah, that's right, because I did the one in February. I did the one in February in the winter time as well. And, like, they've all been so busy, so, like, I want to do another tour. Like, I want to come back and, like, it's like I said, like, by the end of this tour, I'll have done 6 months in the last year working out in Canada. And I tweeted this a while back as well. I was just like, it's just another place to work for me. I feel very much part of the scene over there. And, like, there's a bunch of wrestlers, man. Like, there's a bunch of wrestlers that I want to wrestle. The Canadian wrestling scene right now is awesome. Like, there's a guy called Mark Wheeler who's drop kicks like 10 foot. There's this tag team called Judas Icarus and Travis Williams. I don't know if you know who they are in Vancouver. Mm. They do like Defy and stuff. Like, there's a bunch of wrestlers that I want to wrestle as well, man. Like, Speedball's always out there. Yeah. Josh is still doing indies. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and a bunch of the American wrestlers come up. So, like, I'm excited, man.
I'm super excited
to go out and, like, do it all over again. I feel, like, so comfortable there now. And, like, I've got my gym membership. I freeze my gym membership. I froze my bank account. You know what I mean? Everything's ready to go, so.
And obviously with this one, it's not a one-way flight. You've got set times that you're going to be in and out of there.
Yeah, yeah,
so we've got to get that
this time round.
Time
Although, mind you, anything full. Can happen, so you never know, innit? If things
That's
go
true.
Well, then I'll be like, oh, push it back.
That's true. You never know what the world
is. Got to be ready for everything, but, like,
and
honestly,
what's nice,
like,
is as well that you're going to do this tour, and I always guarantee that how the way the industry goes is you're going to bump into people, Amir Jordan from a year or two ago, who are doing this for the first time.
Yeah,
and it's lovely that they hopefully will listen to this and watch this and go, actually, there's some insight into here into how all of it comes together.
Yeah, of course, man. Like, it is, like, it's just, you know, so much of it is just, like, messaging around. And, like, I'll tell a lot of the talent as well, because some wrestlers are messaging me as well about, oh, I want to get out to Canada as well. And I'm like, just, like, throw yourself out there. Like, put on your best match. Or send them your promo pics. Send messages. And don't be afraid to, like, be the one that takes a step forward, because you'll be surprised what you'll get in return for it, because I got a lot of it in return for my stuff. And, like, it is, man. It's logistically such a fucking nightmare. Like, you're your own secretary, innit? You're your own admin. And, like, getting in touch and, like, not knowing where you're going to be and getting flown out. But, like, internal flights in Canada are quite cheap. So, like, you can get flown out, you can get about and stuff as well. So, it's, you know, it's honestly, man, like, it's been the best. I've been, like I said, I didn't want to go in the winter time, but I thought, well, I'll squeeze another one in now. And I ended up going again and, like...
Just couldn't stay away.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, it's, you know, I'm very...
Would you consider moving out there? Or would that kind of ruin the allure and the... And finite amount of Amir Jordan time?
Canada's expensive.
There is expensive as well.
In Toronto is ridiculous. like, that's another one, right, that you have to deal with, is like finding places to stay and, like, staying in couches. Like, if I had a bus early in the morning, there's been times where, like, I've stayed at the gym on the massage chairs for, like, get like one REM cycle. and then go because it's cheaper than like paying for a hotel. And like I said at the airport a couple of nights, like, you know what I mean? Like, it is just part of the journey. You've got to be ready for anything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm taking showers at the gym and like, you know, silly shit like that. Do you know what I mean? It's, you know, it's packing light and like making sure you've got everything ready. And like, I'm quite adventurous anyway. So like I said, man, the like post WWE, this little period that I've had to go in Canada has kind of like ticked off two passions. One of like getting to travel a lot. And like two of like kind of like building up my confidence and getting back into, you know, starting to like really believe in myself. And like, it was cool, man. I got to take like Raz on like, we did like a Rocky Mountains road trip. Nice. And then my mum was over in the summertime as well. So we went up to Montreal and like Mont Tremblay. So like, that was all through wrestling money that they all came over. And it was cool because I was like, oh, you guys come over and I'll cover everything. We'll rent the car, we'll go.
Amazing.
And like getting to do that through wrestling. And like, you know, take my mum for a nice trip and like, you know, go see the mountains and do stuff like that. Like, it's been very fulfilling, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like, I'm looking forward to like, why not? Do you know what I mean? It's like you say, like, we're wrestlers. We can wrestle anywhere in the world. So like, don't just limit yourself to like your local scene or your local country even, because territories are everywhere, innit?
It's true. And if people want to watch which territories heading you're heading into next, how can people keep up with you?
So I'm on social media. Everything's social media, right? Yeah, X at I Am Amir Jordan, Instagram at I Am Amir Jordan as well. That's another thing that I found was like so many of my bookings I got just by DMing. No one really didn't do anything on email much, to be honest with you. So like, it's the best way to get in touch with everyone else. It seems like
true. It's the easiest way to do it as well.
Yeah. I guess that's how you get the Canadian promoters to reply, because that's another good thing as well. It was working in my favor or not, whether I got the date or not, every single promoter in Canada responded and replied, and a bunch of them gave me extra as well for doing a good job.
Oh, look at that!
Absolutely, Steve at WrestleCore. But it's, you know what I mean? As a wrestler, it's so...
That makes such a difference.
It makes such a big difference knowing that if you did a good job, like, you get that little bit extra, and you know what I mean? But yeah, shout out Steve, Cobra Kai, Russell Core in Vancouver.
And shout out Amir Jordan as you get ready for another tour. Can we keep in touch with you while you're in Canada?
Should we
touch base while you're in Canada?
Absolutely, we should.
Over Zoom.
I'll be in somewhere, hopefully not staying over at the airport. I might be in a place now.
I want you to ring us from the worst hotel that you end up in.
Honestly, mate, I'm not going to lie. You know, the promotions out there, they kept me in really nice hotels.
Oh, well,
I've got so many good things to say about it.
I'm not going to lie, I kind of want to work in Canada now.
Yeah, man, we stayed at nice hotels. Honestly, there wasn't any rough...
Oh.
Place to stay at, and like the hotels are like that, microwaves and stuff, and you can do your food and all that stuff, man. Like, honestly, again, it's part of the reason why I'm more keen to like keep going out there, because like it is fun. And like, as a wrestler, you want to be maximizing, especially as an independent wrestler, you want to be maximizing as much money as you can make, as well as like wrestle as much as possible and live the dream, right? We are all just kind of like, I feel like I'm just delaying going to live a normal life as much as possible.
Just keep putting it off and keep putting it off.
The more I can do that. But like, yeah, to answer your question, like what the future is, at the end of the day, like I've learned, man, like obviously I could answer this, but I'll get another contract. Of course, all wrestlers want to get to, like, if you're not an uncontracted wrestler, it really helps having a contract and like, you know, having a platform, right?
Yeah.
I got to wrestle for TNA, you know, that'd be awesome to do that again. That like, that was such a fun experience, right? Because I like watched TNA from when I was young too. But like, honestly, like I have gotten to a point where I just enjoy wrestling. And like after like, it's that thing, like black t-shirt in it, after going through the shit and like coming out of it and learning how to enjoy wrestling, it is that thing of like, keep working hard, keep doing what you're doing, because you can't control the opportunities that come your way. And like, I couldn't control NXT UK coming within 2 years. So I took it, do you know what I mean? Whether I was ready for it or not. Now I might be a lot more ready for it because I'm a little bit more grizzled. I've got grey in the beard as well.
I can see it's worth it.
Do you know what I mean? I keep it as part of the thing, innit? Do you know what I mean? So yeah, man, like it is just getting myself out there more. Like I'm doing more stuff in Europe. I want to travel more. Like this has given me more impetus to want to try and like travel more around the world and wrestle more. So honestly, like I want the big opportunity. Of course you do. But until then, I'm like, all right, let me see which country and which places I can wrestling more and like all that stuff. So
when we spoke 1 year and 8 months ago, and I had no doubt in my mind that you would snatch this particular moment and run with it, and you absolutely have. And you know what? It's been lovely, because since the retirement of my favorite wrestler, Tiger Taran, I've been a pretty desperate place as a wrestling fan, but I'm glad that Amir Jordan has continued on.
I still get some of these, you know, at shows sometimes. I'm good. Like, you remember? Fuck, you remember?
Bring him back, you coward! Bring him back!
Maybe one day when it's right. When it's
Amir Jordan.
Go, but yeah,
thank always, you very much. Always a pleasure, mate. Always.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.